when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, made their feet fast in the stock. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were open. Somebody say, all the doors were open. And everyone's bands were loose. Say, everybody got free. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the anointing on your word. I ask you now, God, to anoint these lips of clay that I may speak what thus saith the Lord to your people. Father, we'll be sure to give you all praise for us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach to you this morning on the topic, the power of praise. The power of praise. I just ask one thing, that y'all get with me this morning. Amen? Amen. About half of you is going to get with me. I hope the rest of you wake up and get with me. Amen. The power of praise. You know, most of the time when we talk about praise, it involves something on the positive side, whether we are praising for a job well done or praising because we received what we wanted. You know, it's real easy to praise God when things work out just like you wanted them to work out. It's real easy to shout and dance when everything's going good and you're not really having any issues and everything's just peachy king in your home, everything's good in your marriage, your children are actually acting right for one time in their life, and everything seems to be going good. It is actually easy to praise God then. It's easy to praise God when you're around a lot of people in church who's praising God. Why? Because everybody else is praising, so it really doesn't cost you anything to praise. But can you praise when everything is falling apart around you? See, that's when we find out who the real praisers are. Can you praise God when things don't work out like you wanted them to? Can you praise God when you prayed and asked God and he said no? Can you praise him when your kids are acting a fool? Amen. Thank you, Ruby, for being honest in the house. Everybody else has got little perfect little angels that don't do nothing. Can you praise him when times are hard? Can you praise him when you don't know how you're going to make it? Can you praise him when God says, I'm not going to bring you out of the fire, I'm just going to walk through the fire with you? Can you still praise him at those times? We've got to get past believing that praise just involves when everything's okay. Because if you can only praise God when everything's okay, you're going to have a rough time when you start going through. Amen. You say, well, I hadn't really been through anything in my life. Keep living. Because being saved, being unsaved, a sinner, being full of the Holy Ghost, nothing exempts you from this thing called life. Life is going to happen without any help from the devil. Life happens to us all. And being a Christian doesn't exempt us from life. It's going to happen. But being a Christian does help us deal with life. I don't know about you, but I don't see how people live in the day and age that we live in today without having a relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't see how they deal with life. I don't see how they handle the problems that life throws them in the day and age we live today without a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Y'all got to wake up. Whatever the case may be, though, praise generally in people's minds involves something that is going or has went well. But many times what happens is when things aren't going well, we didn't get what we want, our praise seems to diminish. I've seen people shout and dance and do all manner of stuff and be all happy. But at the moment things start not going their way, at the moment they start having problems, then that praise diminishes and their bottom lip swells out and they start tripping over their bottom lip. It's down so far. Hello? I'm already preaching way better than y'all shouting. Because we allow what we're going through and we allow our circumstances to control our reaction to God. Well, if Jesus loved me, I wouldn't be going through this. Sometimes it's because he loves you that you're going through this. Sometimes Jesus has to allow us to go through rough times. Why do you say that, preacher? Because if we didn't go through rough times, some of us would never pray. It's amazing when we start going through a difficult time in our life, how spiritual we get. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. But when everything is going good, we ain't got time for God. When everything is going good, we forget to talk to him. We forget to tell him thank you. You see, your relationship with Jesus Christ is actually that, a relationship. You can't like your spouse only when they're doing everything you like. And then you can't stand them, hello, when they do something you don't like, and expect to have, and be mean to them, not talk to them, and cut them off, and then expect to have a successful relationship. Amen? There are two things you said when you took your vows. For better or what? Some of you looking like it can't get much worse. Let me move on before I get in trouble. So when we allow our praise to diminish because we're going through rough times in our life, what we end up with is a praise that is contingent on what's going on in our lives. But if you can ever find somebody that can praise God even in the midst of the storm, you found somebody that can face anything and make it through. That is why when David was thrown into a pit, watch this, David was thrown into a pit, place of isolation. There was no water in it. In the Bible, water represents the Spirit. He was in a place of his life where he didn't feel God. He was in a place in his life where he didn't have somebody singing him into the presence of God. He was in a place of his life where he was isolated. But the Bible says Judah spoke up and said, let's get him out of the pit. Judah means praise. So even though David was in a place in his life, praise still got him out of the pit. And I want to tell you something, no matter where you're at in your life, if you can force yourself to look beyond where you're at and see who God is, amen, you can come out of whatever it is that you're dealing with in your life. You say, well, preacher, you don't know what I'm facing in my life. You don't know what I'm dealing with in my life. It does not matter, because nothing catches God off guard. Nothing catches God by surprise. And God is right there, and he is able to deliver you. The Bible says, now unto him who is able. Some of you need to be realized, to be reminded this morning that God is able. Amen. You say, I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know when he's going to do it. But I need to encourage you today that God is able. Hallelujah. You may say, preacher, you don't know my situation. You don't know how far my child has gone. You don't know where they're at in their life. I'm here to tell you today, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we may ask or think, because God is God and there is nothing too hard for him to do. Hallelujah. I'm about to feel my preach this morning. God is on the throne and he is able. Hallelujah. My God, somebody just give him praise right now that he's able. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Sister Cindy, God is able. Hallelujah. Brother Gerald, God is able. Hallelujah, Sister Hazel, God is able. Whatever it is, he's able. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. My. Do y'all feel what I feel this morning? Amen. If you don't feel God in here, you need to go to the doctor and get your feeler checked. Amen. You see, we pick up this story where Paul and Silas had been preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and seeing God change people's lives. And how many of you know that the devil does not care how much we meet in service here and how much we come together and we worship and have church like we're having church this morning? That don't bother the devil. But what bothers the devil is when people start coming in and their lives are being changed by the power of Jesus Christ, and they're being ripped out of the devil's grasp and their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. The devil starts getting upset. So Paul and Silas were preaching the gospel, and people's lives were being changed. And this displeased some folks. How many of you know that people get mad when God starts changing folks? I've never understood why, but when God starts healing and delivering and set free, it makes some folks mad. So this displeased certain folks in the city. Let me give you a little background on what was happening. Paul and Silas was going around and they were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lives were being changed. And there was this lady that started following them around. And the Bible said she was a soothsayer. If you don't know what a soothsayer is, it was somebody that could tell people's fortunes and tell, read crystal balls and tell people what's going to happen in their lives. And the Bible said she brought her masters much gain by what she was doing. In other words, she was a slave that was possessed by a demon that was giving her the ability to tell people's fortunes and to tell people's futures. Let me stop right there. These people that practice this thing are not your friend. They don't have a gift. They are possessed with a demonic spirit. Hello? And if you are wasting your time and your money going to somebody like that, it is witchcraft, it is sorcery, and you need to stay away from it. Amen. It's not a special gift on their life. It is a demonic spirit. We see it right here in the scripture. Amen. So this lady was following Paul and Silas around. But she, what's what she was doing, though? As she followed them around and they were preaching, she would say, "These are the servants of the Most High God. Hear you them." Was what she was saying was the truth? Absolutely. She was trying to build up their ego. She was trying to feed their ego. She was following them around. She was saying the right things. Let me help you right here. How many of you know that the devil can send people in your life to say the right things for the wrong reasons? Oh, she was saying the right things, but it was for the wrong reasons. We've got to learn how to spiritually discern the voices that are coming in our lives. Because there are people that the enemy will send in your life that can say all the right stuff you've been wanting them to say, and they're really sent by the devil to try to destroy you. Oh, my amens are diminishing. Oh, well, he told me that I was what I'd been looking for my whole life. And I had been praying and telling God, send me the man I'd been looking for my whole life. And then this joker shows up and says, I'm what you've been looking for. It had to be God. Oh, this guy's gonna have all the right stuff. He's gonna wear the right cologne. He's gonna wear the right gear. He's gonna have everything that I'm looking for. And then he shows up, and then he's gone. And you left squalling, going, I thought it was God. Yes, watch and pray. You've got to learn to spiritually discern the voices that are coming in your life. Because just because they saying the right things does not mean they were sent from God. Learn to spiritually discern who you're listening to, because there are people out there that will lead you down the wrong road because they're being used by the enemy. Amen. That is why the Bible says test the spirits to see whether they be of God or not. That doesn't mean you're judging anybody. But if, hey, let me tell you something. If you come try to speak into my life, I'm going to begin to see if I'm spiritually discerning who you are and if you are of God or you're not of God. You say, well, preacher, I don't know how to do that. Hey, when you get full of the Holy Ghost, it begins to take over and you can spiritually discern things in your life. Hello? So the Bible said she was following them around going, these are the servants of the Most High God. Hear you them. And the Bible said Paul became grieved in his spirit. In other words, he said, you're saying the right things, but you're still not of God. Oh, God, give us preachers that'll have enough backbone to stand up when people want to hit the floor shouting and saying right things and say, you're saying the right things, but you're still not of God. God, give us preachers that'll have that spine to stand up and say, honey, you may put on a show for everybody else. You may be saying, talking churchy. You may be acting churchy, but you're still not of God. I mean, God, give us preachers that'll have the backbone to stand up and do that. But the reason that a lot of preachers don't do that today is because they don't discern it themselves. I know it's tight, but it's right. Man, they don't discern it themselves, what's going on in somebody's life and what's happening just because they say the right things. So it grieved Paul in his spirit, and he turned around and he rebuked the devil and cast it out of her. Set the young lady free from this demonic spirit. Well, when this happened, she was free. But instead of people being happy, that somebody got freed from a demonic spirit, got set free in their life, got free from slavery, got free from all this stuff, instead of being happy, they got mad about it. Why do we and many of our churches today and our church people today get so mad when somebody walks through those doors dripping in sin and they get saved and set free and delivered? We get mad about it. Well, they just going to come in and take over. My Lord, that's why we got so many churches today that are on life support, because there ain't a soul in the church under 60 years old. I didn't say 90. I said 60. There's not a soul in the church under 60 years old. They don't want anybody else to come in and get free and get delivered, because they're going to come in and change up their church. They don't look right. They don't smell right. They're not the right color. They got tattoos all over them. They got piercings all over them. We can't have that in our church. But where is those churches going to be in the next 10 years when those people start dying? Hello? That's why we got churches that's run us 12 and no more for the last 30 years. But what's going to happen when all those folks start dying? Because they won't allow anybody else to come in because they're different, and they get mad when God sets them free. Well, they can take them down there at that church. I'm like, send them to Life Church. We'll take them broke, crippled, and crazy. Why? Because we want to see people saved, delivered, healed, and set free by the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we want to leave a legacy for our children that there is still a God sitting on the throne, that there is still a God that changes lives. And I refuse to let my children grow up and not experience the radical, life-changing power of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So Paul and Silas, when it made these people mad, they said, we ain't going to have you doing this kind of stuff. We ain't going to have you setting people free. You ain't going to have you costing us money. You see, I want to get to the point that the drug dealers hate us. Why? Because we're costing them so much money, because people are getting set free and people are getting delivered and people are getting healed. I want them to hate us because we are taking money out of their pockets. Hallelujah. And they got furious about it, and they went and they seized Paul and Silas, and they brought them to the magistrates, the rulers of the city, and they said, these guys is causing a ruckus. They just causing too many problems. We need to do something about this. The Bible says that they took them and laid many stripes upon them. They beat them. They beat them and throwed them in prison, not for stealing, not for killing, not for going out and being public drunk, not for doing anything. They went to jail after they were brutally beaten for setting a lady free from a demon. Hey, they went to jail after being brutally beaten. And they told the jailer, they said, you better keep them safe and don't let them get out. The Bible says that the jailer, receiving such a charge, cast them into the inner prison, the very center of the prison, the darkest, deepest place of the prison, and then put their hands and feet in shackles. This is where we pick up our text this morning. When they had laid many stripes on them, they rent off their clothes, commanded to beat them, and they laid many stripes upon them and cast them into the inner prison. So Paul and Silas had been beaten for preaching. I'm sure when Paul and Silas went into the city, that their plan was not to be beaten. I'm sort of, hey, Silas, let's go over here. When we preach, they're going to beat us and throw us in jail. Woohoo, let's go. I'd have been like, the Lord's lead me in a different direction, Pastor. Y'all laughing because y'all said that before. When God requires something of us and we don't like it, the Lord's lead me somewhere else. Thank God ain't 100 miles of it. When church don't start going like we like it, and things are changing in church, and we don't really like the way that God's taking the church, Pastor, the Lord's leading me away. Ooh, all my amens have died. Sometimes God does lead us to different places, but sometimes self leads us a lot of places. Let me move on. I'm sure this wasn't part of Paul and Silas's plan. hey, I'm going to preach the gospel, and we're going to get people saved and healed and delivered. This wasn't part of their plan to end up in jail. Hey, when I first got called into ministry, I was like, man, I'm going to charge hell with a water gun. I'm going to lead people to Jesus, and it's going to be great. But I didn't know, it wasn't part of my plans to get my feelings hurt. It wasn't part of my plans to get talked about. It wasn't part of my plan to get ridiculed. It wasn't part of my plan for people to wait for me after church and want to fight and do all kind of stuff. Hello? It wasn't part of my plan to see people to talk about me and run me down the road or to butt dial me and me sit there listening to them talk about me with other church members. Hello? But I had fun with that. I called them back. I was like, hey. They're like, hey, Pastor. It's like, what you doing? Oh, nothing. I was like, yeah, no, yes, you are. You were just sitting around talking about me. No, Pastor. I was like, you butt dialed me and you said this, this, and this. And they were like, oh. It's like, I just want you to know I heard it, but I love you and I'm praying for you. Then I hung up the phone and was like, you ratchet heifer. It's a work in progress. Most of y'all would have said worse than that. Y'all so sanctified. You hear somebody talking about you, you're like, oh, Jesus, touch him. Yeah. Y'all better not act so saved. Y'all laugh because y'all like, I've done that last week. Let's move on. Somebody just said yesterday. So this wasn't part of their plan for their lives. But there are times that things happen that weren't part of our plan. And then we're forced to deal with things we never intended on dealing with. There's people that I could point out this morning that things in your life have happened that weren't part of your plan, but they still happened. And then you're left to deal with it. Amen. There's times that I've went through, I like using myself, that way people don't say that the preacher throw their message at them. I'm like, I preach it myself more than I do anybody else. So that's why I use myself as an analogy. So people don't get their feelings hurt. There's times that's happened in my life that things that I went through weren't part of my plan. There's things that I went through that I said, God, I don't ever want to go through something like that, and said I never would go through it. And then it happened. Have you ever prayed for something not to happen, but it still happened? And we have to accept this was God's will. This was part of the plan, and now I'm left to deal with it. We can't control things that happen in our lives. We can't control things that we have to go through, but we can control how we let it affect us. We can't control 100% how we allow that to affect us. We can't always control things we have to deal with. So here's Paul and Silas in jail. This wasn't part of their plan, but it was the cards they were dealt. Now, when life deals you cards, you have one or two choices. You can take it and do the best you can with it, or either you can mullygrub and you can spiral downward. That's the two choices you have. I tell people all the time, well, this is happening, and this is happening, and this is happening. I'm like, can you change it? No, then suck it up and deal with it. Be a big boy. Be a big girl. There are things that happen in our lives that life dealt us. It may not be fair. You may not understand why, but it is the cards that life dealt you, and you have to deal with it, and you have to trust that God's grace is sufficient to bring you through it. The Apostle Paul asked God to remove the thorn from his flesh, and God didn't remove it, but he told him, my grace is sufficient for you. And Paul said, God, I don't want to go through this. I don't want to have to deal with it. God says, you're going to deal with it. You're going to go through it, but just know my grace is enough to bring you through. My grace is enough to keep you. My grace is enough to hold you. You just keep following me, and I'm going to help you make it through. My God. There are people in here this morning that have dealt with horrible sicknesses, that have dealt with death of a spouse. There are people in here that have been divorced, people in here that have been bound by addiction and bound by things. And you're saying, why did all this have to happen to me? Life's not fair. Honey, God didn't promise anybody that life would be fair, but he did promise that he would never leave us and he would never forsake us, that he would go with us even to the ends of the earth. If we just keep holding on to him and trusting him, he's going to bring us through. My God, when we start going through things in our lives, we don't need to go, oh Lord, Lord, what am I going to do? Oh, God, how am I going to deal with this? You need to look in the mirror and say, His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. God's going to bring me through. God's going to take me through this storm. God's going to take me through what I'm going through. God's going to hold me when I can't even hold myself up. God, I'm going to lean on Him because I'm leaning not on my own understanding, but I'm trusting in the hand of Jesus Christ that is going to hold me up, and He's going to walk with me. And when I can't walk anymore, He's going to carry me, because He said that He would not put more on me than I can bear, and that He would be with me, and that He would stick closer than a brother to me. Hallelujah. We can't always control, but we can't, what things come in our lives, but we can control our reaction to them. So here's Paul and Silas, forced into dealing with something that was not part of their plan. They're beaten and thrown into prison, and their feet are fast in the stocks. And here Paul and Silas had a choice to make. Can you imagine? I don't know about you, but here, if I was preaching this sermon this morning, and all of a sudden somebody come in and they took me and they tore my clothes off and they beat the fire out of me and throwed me in jail, I probably wouldn't be in the best mood. Some of you looking at me like you would walk into jail going, hallelujah. You'd walk into jail going, them folks had lost their mind. You wait till I get up out of here. Paul and Silas were in jail, and they had a choice to make. They could either become bitter about what happened to them. You ever been trying to do God's work and you ended up getting hurt? Well, I ain't going to church no more. Uh-oh, I done struck a nerve. Why? Because what's the number one excuse of people that don't want to come to church? I've been hurt in church, and there's a bunch of hypocrites there. I ain't going to church with hypocrites. Well, you want to go to hell with them? You're going to spend time with them regardless. Hello? That is good preaching, preacher. I feel like David this morning. Encourage myself. Well, I ain't going to church because I tried the whole church thing before and I ended up getting hurt. How many of you have ever had your feelings hurt on your job? Raise your hand, come on. But do you still go back? Why? Because that's your check. All right, I'm going somewhere with this. You get your feelings hurt on your job all the time. Hello? You hold your tongue more in your job than you do in the church. Why? Because if somebody pops off at you on your job, you can't pop back. I had one employee that did that, and she's no longer employed. I tell you that story when we ain't on live stream. Why? Because that's our check, that's our livelihood. But when it comes to God's house, and somebody hurts our feelings, we don't want to go back. So are we more concerned with our paycheck than our eternal salvation? Oh, all my amens have gone, but that's all right. I'm still preaching. We're more concerned with our paycheck and our bank account than we are on where we're going to spend eternity. The Bible teaches us that life is but a vapor, but eternity is forever. And we will go back to a job. We'll go back to places where we've been hurt time and time again. We'll go to the club hunting a man or hunting a woman, and it don't work out. And we go right back to that same club hunting another man or another woman. Whew. Hello? Let's move on before I get stoned up here. Y'all gonna be took me and beat me? So they had a choice to make when they're thrown in prison. They could either allow themselves to become what they were going through, or they could accept, I'm the same person before I ended up in this mess. Let me help you right here this morning. When life throws curveballs at you, and it's going to, you have a choice to make. You can either succumb to what you're going through, or you can realize I'm the same person I was before I got into this mess, and I'll be the same person when I come out of this mess. You can either adapt to what you've went through in your life, or you can continue to allow God to develop you like that potter did and let him mold you into what he wants you to be, and you can come out. I've seen people go through tremendous heartache, but they stayed true to who they were. I use her a lot in service, but Sister Jean Goldman, one of my heroes. You know that, Sister Jean? You're one of my heroes. Faithfulness and perseverance, but has suffered tremendous heartache, tremendous loss in her life, loss of children, tremendous hardships, tremendous burdens in her life. But can I tell you something? She stayed steady. She stayed steady. Amen. Sister Jean, I honor you today, and I honor your commitment to God. If we could all have faith and perseverance like that. Hey, so is it possible for life to throw you a curveball and you still remain true to who you are? That's a testament right there. That's a testament right there. Is it possible to face horrendous situations in your life and not become a bitter, mean, vindictive person? Yes, it is. But you must have the help of Jesus Christ to do that. You must have a sound foundation in Jesus Christ to be able to do that. I've seen people that have went through tough times in their life, and they ended up being the most mean, hateful, bitter people that you ever met in your life. Be like, what happened to you to make you so mean? What happened to you that was so bad that you hate the whole world now? There are people that become so bitter and so upset at things that happen. But we have a choice to make. And guess what? You'll have that choice to make again. And again. And again. And again. Why? Because life is going to continue to throw you curveballs. Life is going to continue to happen. And you can become a bitter person, or you can say, I'm going to follow Jesus. His grace is going to help me. He's going to bring me through. And I refuse to allow what I went through to change me from being me. Amen. I'm going to be me regardless. If you see me in the pulpit, I'm me. If you see me at Walmart, I'm me. If you see me on the street, I'm me. I seen somebody downtown at the fireworks show last night. I didn't even see them. They said, I heard you cackling from across the road. It's like, hey, I'm going to be me. I'm going to cut up. I'm going to have a good time. That's who I am. And even though life throws curveballs and I've had my feelings hurt and I've had things happen in my life that I did not want to have to go through, I said I refuse to allow it to change me from being me. Why? Because God called me just like I am. See, you got to understand something about when God calls you. He doesn't want to change you as a person. He just wants to change how you do it. That's why Peter was a professional fisherman. When God called him, he said, I'm going to make you what? A fisher of men. He said, you're not going to fish for fish anymore, but you're going to fish for men. So God took who Peter was, what Peter was good at, and said, I'm going to just put myself in it and help you with it. So when God calls you, it's still you. You don't have to change you just because you get saved. Just change the things you do and the way you live. And that you're no longer on your way to hell, but you're on your way to heaven. Amen. Let's move on. I've got to hurry. So Paul and Silas could either let themselves go through it and become bitter and let themselves go, or either realize they're still the same person. We must realize, though, guys, that we can go through something without becoming it. Amen? Just because you were an addict in the past don't mean you have to consider yourself an addict the rest of your life. Amen. I got two amens. Hey, just because you were broken in a divorce doesn't mean you have to consider yourself a divorcee the rest of your life. Whew. Just because you've been through tough times in your life and you failed God miserably doesn't mean you have to consider yourself a failure the rest of your life. The devil is a lie. I feel that right there. The devil is a lie. Just because you failed God doesn't mean you're a failure. My God, every person in this room today has failed God miserably, including your pastor. I have fallen flat on my face and failed God more times than I care to count. But guess what? I'm not a failure. What am I? Redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ and a child of the Most High God. Hey, just because you blew it don't mean that you're going to blow it the rest of your life. The devil is a lie. Get past that. Move on and know that God still has a plan for our lives. I've said it many times, but I feel like I need to say it again today. God knew that you were going to blow it before he called you, but he still called you. Amen. I sometimes wonder what God was thinking, but I'm like, okay, God, you're God. Because there's times in my life people get on my nerves. All the sanctified people are going like, I can't believe he's saying that. All the undercover Christians are like, mm-hmm. You better preach, boy. Sometimes folks get on my nerves, and I don't like people. And God said, I want you to be a pastor. I'm like, you serious? God said, you ain't got to like them all the time, but you got to love them. I was like, I can do that. How many of you know you can still love somebody and maybe not like some of the stuff going on in their life? Amen. Just because I don't like some stuff in your life don't mean I don't love you. Amen. I got family members that I don't like some stuff, but I still love them. I should have got everybody saying amen, because we all got that one family member that if somebody says, oh, are you kin to so-and-so, you ignore them, act like you don't hear them, because you don't want nobody to know. They show up at the reunion, and you go, oh, dear Jesus. Where's my purse? Where are my keys? Take all the money out your wallet and go hide it, because when they walk up, they're going to be like, let me hold something. You're like, I ain't got nothing. If you ain't done that at a reunion, you lying. Some people are like, what's a reunion? We'll get to that later. Understand, guys, that our identity is not contingent on what I'm going through. I am who I am regardless of what's going on in my life. You know that you're a child of the King regardless of what's going on. If things are going good or things going bad, you're still a child of the King. If you feel like you ain't got a friend in the world, guess what? You're still a child of the King. And we got to get that through our heads. And if we could ever grasp hold of that regardless of what's going on in our lives, we're still a child of the King, life would be a lot better for us. We would be able to deal with things a lot better. Because when we start going through, we're like, Jesus, don't love me no more. The man gave his life for you on a cross while you were yet a sinner and died the most brutal death possible. And we go, Jesus, don't love. He loves us more than we love ourselves. He loves us more than anybody else on this, than anybody else could possibly love us. So don't, my identity's not contingent on what I'm going through. So at midnight, here's Paul and Silas beaten. They're shackled up in prison. They begin to sing. And now it wasn't a country song. All country songs are about the same. My dog bit me, my wife left me, my truck wouldn't crank. I'm going through the Big D and I don't mean Dallas. Y'all so sanctified. Y'all, like, that ain't my kind. I'm a Luke Bryan person. Anyway, they begin to sing. But notice it put a word in there that I think we read it, but I don't think we really understand what happened. It says at midnight, they begin to sing praises. They began to sing praises, and I don't even know if the praise team knew what I was going to preach on this morning, but they sang a lot about praise this morning. They began to sing praises. Can you think about that? I don't know about you, but if I was beaten for not doing nothing wrong, shackled up in prison, I ain't going to be really wanting to sing, I sing praises to your name. They're going to want to be saying, Lord, I'm staying faithful, Lord. Even though I'm going through the fire, Lord. Y'all get a prayer chain going. Call the ladies of the church and get them to pray, and call the men of the church and get them to fast. And y'all got to pray that I'll ever hold out. Come on and pray my strength in the Lord. Hello? Somebody get a hold to the pastor and tell him to start sprinkling some anointing oil. God's got to show up. That's what most of us would have been doing. That's what I would have been doing. I'd have been like, Michelle, you better get a hold of some prayer warriors for Jesus to get me up out of this. Come on, let's be real. I know we want to act like we'd have done the same thing, but let's be real. We're beaten. Our backs are bloody. No medical treatment. We're stripped off of our clothes. We're thrown into the inner prison. No heater. You ain't got no clothes on. You're bleeding. You're hurting. You're swelling. Your hands and feet are in shackles. And you want to start singing praises to Jesus? Think about it. These guys had something that I hope to get one day. They at midnight, they begin to sing praises. They begin to worship God and have church right there in the jail. Can I tell you something? You can have church wherever you are. When you just begin to lift up the name of Jesus and you begin to worship him. You say, well, I can't do it in my house because my spouse is unsaved and they're going to get, hey, worship God. Oh, I can't do it on my job because I'll get fired. Worship God. I'm like this. I done got to this point. I'm 44 now, and I done got blessed with the don't cares. Somebody said, well, what do people do? When, what does it hurt you when people talk about it? I said, I done got too old to care about it. If it don't feed me, clothe me, pay my house note, or pay my water bill or my light bill, I ain't worried about it. Why? Because folks going to say what they want to say regardless. Amen. And I'm not going to spend all my time defending what they say. Why? Because they're going to say it anyway. Amen. You just do what you need to do for God and let God deal with that. Because God has a way of shutting them up. God has a way of shutting folks up. So let's move on. So Paul and Silas began to sing praises unto God because they refused to allow what they were going through to change who they were. And as they sing praises, watch this, the Bible says the foundations of the prison shook. All the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Here we see the power of praise. And I'm through my introduction this morning. I want to preach to you for just a minute. Here we see the power of praise. The first thing praise did was cause closed doors to open. How many of you ever run up against some closed doors in your life? We see it all through the Bible. There's closed doors we run up against. They found themselves in a place that they were facing some closed doors in their life. But because of praise, even closed doors have to open. Hallelujah. Even if a door closes in your face, check this out. When Joshua took over after Moses died, Joshua took over pastoring the largest congregation ever. Moses led them out of Egypt, 3.5 million people, and Moses was their pastor. Moses was a good dude. So when Moses died, Joshua took over. They crossed over Jordan. First thing God told Joshua was, take the city of Jericho. Joshua's like, all right, how you want us to do it? But the Bible says Jericho was straightly shut up. No one came in, no one went out. In other words, God told Joshua, he said, take the city, and then all the doors slammed closed in his face. You must understand that there are times in our lives where God will tell us to do something and there'll be closed doors in front of us. Does that mean we give up because we face a closed door? My Lord, if I gave up every time a door shut in my face, I would never do nothing. Amen. So Joshua was told to take the city. Then all the doors slammed shut, and God said, don't worry about that. I want you to march around the city for 7 days. And on the seventh day, he said, I want the priests to blow the trumpets, and I want the people to shout with a great shout. In other words, I want y'all to erupt in praise. And when they begin to praise, even those closed doors opened. The walls fell down. God brought them in. Why? Because the power of praise. So we see praise in the Old Testament opening doors, and we see praise in the New Testament open doors for those people who believe that the New Testament, the Old Testament and New Testament aren't still valid for today. There's one in both books. Well, that's Old Testament preacher. Well, that's New Testament preacher. Hey, it's the Bible, folks. From cover to cover, it's still relevant. Hello? Jesus didn't come to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill the law. We don't live under the law, we live under grace because of what Jesus did. Hello? But we still have... Hello? Let me move on. So we serve a God that is capable of opening closed doors. So instead of focusing on the door, focus on the God. So let me move on. The next thing that happened was everyone's bands got loose. In other words, everybody got free. This is where chains fell off. This is where the chains that were holding them in prison. You know, praise will cause whatever's holding on to you to fall off. Hello? Y'all stick with me. I only got a few more minutes. Some of you's nodding off to sleep. Come on, wake up. My wife grinned at me. Stick with me, baby. I'm just ragging on her. The praise caused you to get free. Do you know that there are times in your life that all this stuff is on you and you feel like you can't keep going? You feel like you can't get through another day? Do you know that if you'll just praise God, things will begin to fall off? Things will begin to fall off you that's been holding you back? Things will begin to fall off you that you didn't know how you was going to get rid of in your life? You know, anything that keeps you from fully trusting God is a bondage. Anything that keeps you from holding on. That is why the Bible talks about bringing down the presence of God, bringing down strongholds. You know what a stronghold is? It's a lie that you believe to be the truth. A stronghold is a lie that you believe to be the truth. Somebody told you was worthless, so you begin to believe you're worthless. Somebody told you you'd never get free, so you begin to believe you'll never get free. People have called you this and called you this till you start to believe it yourself. Think about that. You've been through so much in your life, but they begin to sing praises and bands begin to fall off. Praise causes things to fall off you. Do you know praise will get you from being depressed? Praise will get you from being bitter. Praise will cast out fear or your past or whatever the case may be. Praise causes it to fall off you. And the enemy knows this. Why? Because before the devil was the devil, he was an angel called Lucifer that was over worship and things and music in heaven. So the enemy understands the power of praise. That is why music today has such an effect on you. You ever been in a good mood and then some old twangy song comes on that reminds you of your past and reminds you of things and you get down in the mouth? Hello? Are you ever been in a bad mood and then all of a sudden some poppy song comes on and all of a sudden you catch yourself at a red light? Then you'll throw a little bit of this in there. And then folks look at you beside your car going, okay, roll the windows up. Weirdo on my right, weirdo on my right. And they look again, oh my God, that's my pastor. Because it has such an effect on us. Because that, so if music, and that's where it plays in, music can have that kind of effect on your whole attitude, on your whole personality. What do you think when you enter into praise it does? The power of praise to get you out of the funk that you may be in, to get you out of the dumps and all that, and you just begin to praise it. There's times in my life that I have been kind of down in the dumps and things like that, and all of a sudden I flip on the radio and a praise song comes on. Tears begin to flow down my face. Before you know it, I'm like, I'm feeling better about this. Well, you're doing better. Well, me and God had a good cry. If you've never had a good cry with God, I encourage it. It helps. Well, I don't cry. Well, you might want to start. I can't even hardly talk to God without squalling. Every time I just go to pray and tears start flowing down my face. Amen. And I'm getting ready to close. Sister Beverly, would you come? As they begin to praise, stuff begin to fall off. And they walked right out of a bad situation without fighting, without getting down in the mully grubs. All they did was they said, I refuse to allow what I've been going through to change who I am. That even in the midst of my storm, I'm going to praise God. And you say, well, preacher, how do I find my praise in the storm? How do I find my praise in the midst of what I'm going through? We find that answer in the book of Psalms. Over in Psalms chapter 23, King David is writing. He's talking to the Lord. David was a praiser. And he made a statement in Psalms chapter 23. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou fear no evil, for thou art with me. Then he goes, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Why is this so profound? Because when you understand what he was talking about, and I'm going to explain it to you in closing. In those days, on their rod, their staff, it was passed down from generation to generation. But upon that rod, just a long stick, just on that rod, they would engrave things that had happened through the years to the family, things they had went through. It was a history of things that had happened in the family. So David said, your rod and your staff comforts me. In other words, David was saying, I think back to all the times that you brought me through. And I'm sure David looked down at his own rod and he saw a carving of a bear and he saw a carving of a lion. And he said, the same God that delivered me from the lion and the same God that delivered me from the bear is the same God that will deliver me from what I'm going through right now. That's what David meant when he said, thy rod and thy staff comforts me. David said, what I do when I find myself going through, he said, I look back and I think of everything that God has brought me through. And the same God that brought me through back then is the same God that's going to bring me through right now. How do you find your praise in the storm? You think back to how many other storms God's brought you through. What should have killed you didn't kill you. When you should have lost your mind, you didn't. When you should have been locked up, God kept you free. Hello? When you should be dead, God said, I got a plan for you. You find your praise by thinking back to all he's brought you through and realize there's power in praise. Would you stand with me over the house?